When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 574 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is March 18th, 2024. Hopefully everybody is doing well. The Padres' two exhibition games in Korea are done. Both wins, one run wins. Don't know how many times that's going to happen this year, but hopefully it's a lot more than last year. Obviously, they missed the playoffs by two games, and their record in one run games was absolutely terrible. Their extra inning record was terrible. So let's hope that a trend can start happening. That is a positive thing. And that trend hopefully started over these two exhibition games that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday and then 8 o'clock at night yesterday. That was a long day. Today, we're a couple days before the start of the season. Opening day roster projection number three, my final opening day roster projection before the real one gets announced. I believe it has to get announced our time Tuesday night, because Wednesday morning for us, 3 a.m., I don't think they're going to announce it at 2 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, an hour before the game. I think we're going to have to know about it. So I would think Tuesday night is when we're going to know. So stay tuned for that news to come down. We know that Jackson Merrill is going to be the starting center fielder. John Morosi said news, and he was like reporting that from Seoul, South Korea. Maybe Mike Schilt had not formally announced that yet, but we already knew that Merrill was going to be in center field. So whatever. This opening day roster projection is different from my last one because of some of the circumstances. And I am doing this roster projection for the two games in Seoul. I'm not doing it for March 28th, the home opener. I'm doing it for the two games in Seoul. And so it's going to look a little bit different. So let's first start out with the rotation. It's Darvish and Musgrove. We know that they're starting those two games. Dylan Cease, he is not making this roster. Matt Waldron is also not making this roster. I saw Kevin Acey write about that in the UT recently. Waldron obviously threw yesterday. Brito, he is going to make it. I have him in my bullpen. I'll get to that here in a little bit. But yeah, Dylan Cease, I thought yesterday he looked good. Sure, he gave up that one hit, which was a home run, left it over the middle of the plate, but the velocity was there, 97, 98. Breaking ball looked really nasty. I get it. It was against the LG Twins. It was not against the Los Angeles Dodgers, but he still looked really good. And they cut the outing a little bit short, I think, just to be precautionary. He's had a lot of travel, the day off. There's no need to push it. He's not going to have to throw until March 30th, third game of the season, I would think, is when he will make his Padre debut. March 30th, that's a Saturday. And then I would think Michael King would start the 31st, the series finale against Bomell and the Giants. And then the Padres don't need a fifth starter until the month of April. So, yeah, Cease, there's no need for him on it. Waldron, there's no need for him to be on the roster either. He is more, if he's going to be on this team, it's going to be as the fifth starter. It's not going to be as a reliever. I just think the Padres, if Waldron's going to make it as the fifth starter eventually, they're going to do that because they like Brito out of the bullpen and what he can give velocity-wise and stuff-wise, where Waldron, he's not going to walk a lot of guys. I don't know if he fits the best. He probably doesn't fit the best as a one-inning guy. So that's why they would go with Waldron as a starter over Johnny Brito. Pedro Avila, Randy Vasquez, those are two guys as well that I don't have making this roster. Avila, he didn't even pitch in the two exhibition games. I think that everyone that is going to be on this roster at least appeared in these two exhibition games. If they didn't throw, I mean, I don't have Vasquez. He even appeared. Like, Avila didn't appear. And so he was on this travel roster, but he's not going to make the opening. I would be surprised if Pedro Avila is on this opening day roster. Vasquez, he does have options. And then Waldron, again, just there's no need for him in these two games with the Dodgers in Seoul. Bullpen, I've got Michael King because he's not going to be in the rotation because it's just two games. He's obviously a starter, but he might be piggybacking for Joe. He's been throwing on the same day as Joe. At least that's what was happening in spring training, so that's why I say that. Robert Suarez, Yuki Matsui, Wandy Peralta, Johnny Brito, Tom Cosgrove, Jeremiah Estrada, Stephen Kolek, Angel De Los Santos, Adrian Morejon, and Woosuk Go. Those are the names that I have. You may be like, man, that's a lot of names. But remember, I'm not filling out a full rotation, right? So I've got, 11 relievers, but you can have up to 13 arms. And so two starters plus the 11 relievers, that's plenty of arms. And Suarez, we know he's going to be the closer. And then it's going to be Wandy Peralta and Yuki Matsui probably as the 7th and 8th inning guys as of now. They could pitch in the 9th inning based on some situations. If there's maybe a string of lefties and they want to go that route with Peralta, they can do that. I wonder where Tom Cosgrove's going to fit into this. Is he going to be just a matchup-based guy, or is he going to end up being a high-leverage guy, take that next step forward? Will Woosuk Go adjust to the big leagues and ever be in that high-leverage spot? Stephen Kolek, how long is he going to last on this roster? He is a Rule 5 guy. So if the Padres don't have him on the roster, they have to offer him back to the team that he was on. So that's part of the reason why I think he's going to make the opening day roster. And he was good in spring training as well. Johnny Brito, is he going to pitch a couple of innings in this Seoul series in one of the games? Is it just going to be a one inning thing? I would think they're going to have him throw. I think that the relievers they want to go to would be Suarez, Matsui, Peralta, Brito, and Cosgrove. Those are the five. And then, Morejon looked good, but those five definitely. And then if they have to go to others, they will. But yeah, that's my bullpen. Catchers, I've got Luis Camposano and Kyle Higashioka. I do not have Brett Sullivan. I think that for two games in Seoul, what's the need to have a third catcher on the roster when there's three guys in Tyler Wade, Edgar Rosario, Graham Pauly, who have reasons why they could make the opening day roster and how they can help you. Tyler Wade can play everywhere, made a good play at third, good play in left, speed, left-handed bat. Pauly, left-handed bat. You want to see what this guy can do. Like, while Manny's DHing, let's give this guy a shot and see. You want that young talent let's give him a shot instead of having a veteran who you could, you know, rely upon if the Graham Pauly experiment doesn't work out. And then Edgar Rosario, right-handed bat, he almost hit a couple of home runs during these exhibition games. So you got right-handed power at third if you want to start Eggy, or you have left-handed potential in Graham Pauly. You have Tyler Wade, who is a vet. Brett Sullivan, he's a lefty. But if you're going to have Wade and Pauly, those two are lefties. So what's the real need for Sullivan? Pauly can play first if you need him to. He can play third. He can play corners. Tyler Wade, as we can see, he can play multiple positions as well. Eggy can play multiple infield spots. Sullivan, sure, he's a catcher, but are two catch. So Higgy and Campy are both going to get hurt in the same game. If one gets hurt, then the other comes in, and that's that. You hope that I don't think both catchers are going to get hurt. They carry two catchers only all the time. It's not like teams carry three catchers the entire season all the time. So I don't really see the need for Brett Sullivan in these two games. Now, he's going to help this club at some point. He's going to have to impact this club because they're not going to probably use two catchers the entire season because of the demand on that position. And someone's probably going to go on the IL at some point. But for now, two games, I'll leave Sullivan off the roster. So infield, I've got Manny, Bogarts, Kim, Cronenworth, Pauly, Wade, Rosario, 13 non-arms and 13 arms. So if you take Soli out, we know the four outfielders, Tatis, Merrill, Profar, and Azokar. Two catchers, that's six. That allows you to have seven and allows you to have all three of Pauly, Wade, and Eggy. So that's how I would do it. That's my opening day roster projection. Again, rotation, Darvish, Musgrove, bullpen, Suarez, King, Matsui, Peralta, Brito, Cosgrove, Estrada, Colek, De Los Santos, Morjon, and Go. Catchers, Campy and Higgy. Infield, Manny, Bogey, Kim, Crony, Pauly, Wade, Rosario. And then outfield, Tati, Merrill, Profar, and Azokar. Tommy Pham, we'll see if that ends up happening. Not so sure that will end up happening. I'm not so sure that will end up happening by Wednesday at 3 a.m. He's not going to be on the roster. I'm not saying that he would. But I feel like the Padres, they could probably wait a little bit. Like Tommy Pham, it's not like there's a ton of teams that are going after Tommy Pham. And does Tommy Pham really want to go to the Chicago White Sox over the Padres? Padres are definitely more of a contender than the White Sox. The White Sox are probably going to be one of the worst teams in baseball. And I did a video yesterday, the report from Bob Nightingale, Padres moving closer to a deal with Tommy Pham, likely $3 to $4 million. I don't know if you want to believe that because it's Bob Nightingale, but that's pretty specific, $3 to $4 million. Nightingale's been wrong before, obviously, but that is pretty specific to put out there. And what is the other ideal fit? A fit where it's a fit for both sides, especially at $3 to $4 million for Tommy. That's a fit for, maybe not a fit for Tommy in terms of what he wanted to get, but he wants to find a spot and he wants to be on a contender. He's what, 36 years old? He's not getting any younger. He got that taste, World Series appearance last year. He wants to win. There's no other contenders that we're seeing being reported that are like, yeah, we want to have Tommy Pham. We'd love to have Tommy Pham and give him the money that he wants. So there's the redemption thing, Schilt, the relationship there, Preller, the relationship there. Padres need another outfielder, I think. If they sign Tommy Pham, then that would mean that one of Pauly, Wade, Rosario would be off the roster then, because I think that they'd go with five outfielders. I don't think that they would kick Azokar off because I don't think they'd want Tommy to be playing center field if something happens to Tatis, or if they want to keep Tatis in right and Merrill isn't playing, who's going to be playing center? So I think they'd keep Azokar in that situation. But yeah, I just think it's the right fit for the Padres, especially if it's at that $3 to $4 million range. No doubt about that. Profar, as I've said before, I think it's a good utility guy, a good vibes guy. When you pay someone $1 million on a one-year deal, you don't want that guy, unless you're the age, you're not trying to have that guy be the starting left fielder every day for you. The Padres might play it off like that. Like they believe in Jurickson. He fits here. He's going to have a bounce back here, but I don't believe that they want Profar to be the starting left fielder every day for this team. They'd rather have Tommy Pham. And there are some fans that aren't the hugest fans of Tommy Pham. And I guess I understand that viewpoint from some of the things that have happened. But I think if Padres fans treat Tommy Pham like a human being, they don't cross over a line, I think everything will be fine. And Tommy wants to win. There's the Ha-Sung Kim thing that people want to bring up. I think both guys want to win. I think they will move past that. I think if you ask Ha-Sung Kim if he wants Tommy Pham on the team, now I would think he would still say yes, even if it's not in public, but definitely with the media, he would say, yeah, like, I'm trying to win. I think he could help this team. Whatever helps this team, I'm on board for. Ha-Sung Kim, it sure seems like he's a team guy for sure. So I'm at this point, I put this out on Twitter yesterday. I'd be disappointed if the Padres can't get this done with Tommy Pham at this point. Again, like, point to the other team that this is a fit. And if I don't think Tommy wants to sign for $3 to $4 million, especially considering he made like double that last year and he's coming off of a good postseason. But I mean, if you want to play Major League Baseball, you don't control how much you make. The team is, they're the ones with the leverage right now. It's not like Tommy has five different suitors and the Padres are one of them. And he can say, well, this team's offering me this, you have to offer me that. No, it's either, at least being reported, it's like White Sox, Padres. Would you rather go to the White Sox, or would you, and then be traded to a team you don't have control about, or would you sign with the Padres? I mean, I'm not Tommy Pham, but I would be signing with the Padres. All right, I'm going to get to the chat here in a moment. By the way, Jackson Merrill, I thought he's looked impressive. Obviously, he was impressive in spring training and these couple of exhibition games. He has looked impressive. Two hits in the first game, a hit last night as well. Hasn't really gotten action in center field there in Seoul, but professional at-bats, not afraid to take things the other way when he needs to. And that might sound like not a big deal, like, he's in the major leagues. Of course he's supposed to do that. But there's definitely players that don't do that enough in Major League Baseball. And Jackson Merrill, it doesn't seem like he's one of those guys as of now. So I'm liking what I'm seeing there. Ha-Sung Kim, I am loving what I'm seeing from him. Bogaerts, defensively at second base, I like what I'm seeing there. I mean, I haven't seen an issue. Remember even Tatis, his transition to right field last year in spring training, there was some stuff and then missed cutoffs, right? With Bogaerts, I'm not seeing really any issues with his transition to second base. So maybe that's going to come when things matter. It's the ninth inning, a runner's on third and he boots a ball, but that's probably going to happen to anyone. I don't think Mookie Betts is going to be the best shortstop of all time at shortstop. He's going to make some mistakes. That's just the way it is. So same thing goes with Jackson Merrill as well. He'll make some mistakes in center field. We got to be a little bit patient there. He hasn't played center field like in his life. He thought he was coming in and playing left field. And then they said, yeah, you know what? Let's put you in center.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, I think once they got Profar, it was like, yeah, let's probably move Merrill over to center because we don't want Azokar starting in center. We want Merrill on this team. We don't want Profar in center. Tatis is in right. It just makes the most sense. And he was all for it, obviously, any way that he can get to the big leagues. And so I've been very encouraged by what I've seen there. And then pitching-wise, I know the offense, some are going to be like, man, that's a big concern. It's not a big concern for me right now. Like, I want to see some games in the regular season. I get it, Cactus League, and then these exhibition games. It hasn't been amazing, but I'm not going to sit here and overreact to it. I will say it's a little bit of a concern because of what happened last year. And then this year, right now, the lineup looks top-heavy. Jake Cronenworth hitting third. Really, like, the reason for that is to split up the righties. It's not because, oh, Jake Cronenworth's our best hitter. So there's a little bit of concern there as well. I think he's going to bounce back, but I think I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said, no, not concerned at all about the Padres lineup or Cronenworth having to be the three hitter because of the lack of lefties, a lack of actually like a third hitter as a left-handed hitter. And then the Bobby order question marks of who's going to produce there. I like Jackson Merrill as the nine hitter. I mean, turn it over like that. I like that. And even if you can't turn it over with Jackson Merrill, batting him ninth, Merrill probably feels like, yeah, of course there's pressure on me, major leagues, Padre fans, we're going to still focus on Merrill regardless of where he hits. But I think that's a safe spot for him there. If he does well, I mean, it's going to be looked at as, well, he's turning over the lineup. If he doesn't, well, he's hitting ninth. Let's have the top of the order guys, the veterans, the guys that are getting paid a lot of money. How about they, you know, step up here while this guy gets his feet wet in the major leagues? So, yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to put them in the chat. I will answer them after this break. If you want to join the show, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat as well. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, just going through social media here just to check if I'm missing anything. I am not. All right. Also, a reminder of some of the other great partners of the show, Breaking Tea, Padres, Aztecs, Wave shirts and sweatshirts. Link in the description there for those San Diego shirt sweatshirts. Aztecs, by the way, they got a 5-seed. They will be facing UAB. And then if they win that, probably they'll be facing Auburn. UConn is in their same group, which is not ideal. But the Aztecs, they beat number one Alabama last year. So they, if they're playing well, with that defense that they have with Jane Ladee, they should be able to be a tough test for UConn anyway, but that's looking way too far ahead. There's games that they should have won this year that they didn't. Let's get past UAB first. That's going to be on Friday. 10:45, not the most ideal time. Like, what did the Aztecs do to the tournament committee to deserve that? I don't know, but at least it's in Spokane and it's not in Orlando. But it was in Orlando last year, and they made it to the championship game. So maybe location is just something. It's just a talking point, and it's not really actually a big deal. But we'll see. San Diego Wave, they're season opener. Challenge Cup was last week. Alex Morgan with the goal. They win that. Their home opener is this weekend, Snapdragon Stadium. They're going to be hosting Kansas City Current, who got that win over Portland. You can get your tickets, San Diego Wave's website. $9, I believe, is the lowest price for tickets. I believe the buy one, get one free option is there. Maybe that was a one-day thing. But very cheap tickets. Hopefully Snapdragon can get sold out there. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really fun weekend if you think about it, because you got the Aztecs Friday and Sunday, if they can win on Friday. You've got Saturday. Well, that's not fun, but Peter Seidler Memorial, Wave game at night, and then Sunday, Fan Fest, celebrity softball game, obviously earlier in the week, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Padres' first two games of the regular season against the Dodgers. It's a big week. So it's just getting started. Can't wait. Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use code TALKINGFRIARS. Click that link in the description. Obviously, a lot of Padres higher lowers will be on there starting on Wednesday morning. SeatGeek code TALKINGFRIARS, $20 off your order there using that code. Links all in the description, obviously. And there's going to be some good matchups at the beginning of the year at Petco Park. So Giants coming to town. We'll see who will be in their rotation. Will they have a late addition? We'll see. I believe the Cubs come to town as well. So there's going to be some good matchups early on at home. All right, let's go to the chat. Eddie says, morning, Ben. Hope you're doing well. Right back at you, Eddie. Can't wait to see the Padres play the Dodgers. I can't either. I mean, sure, I'm a diehard Padres fan, so I have fun talking about exhibition games. But what I love talking about more than that is games that matter and games against the Dodgers, especially if the Padres can pull off the upset in these two games and be able to win these games. I'm not saying Darvish and Musgrove aren't good pitchers or, you know, there's not talent on this Padres team, but I think we all know who ESPN is going to be writing during the broadcast. Thank goodness that it's going to be on Padres TV. I believe that's for the national TV market, so I don't know if that's actually going to be available in San Diego anyway, the ESPN broadcast. Just watch Padres TV. Dodgers, they're the favorites. They've got the better lineup. They've got the big names. They got the big splashes in the offseason. They win the division every year. They should win this, or at least win one game for sure in this series. So really, it starts the Padres being the underdog. It starts right from the beginning. It's going to be fun, those pitching matchups. Glasnow against Darvish and Musgrove against Yamamoto. I sure hope so, Irie. Irie says this is going to be the year of the U. Yeah. Bounce back year from Darvish is needed. We'll see what they can get out of King. Hopefully Dylan Cease is like the 2022 Dylan Cease, and Joe Musgrove can stay healthy because he pitched pretty well last year when he was on the mound. Good morning, Danny. Hopefully everybody is doing well. Ivory says Jackson Merrill should have a good start, but once pitchers write that book on him, he's going to struggle, and it's up to him to make the adjustment. Yeah, but that's what baseball is. All of these great players, they've had to adjust, right? They may have gotten off to an amazing start. Remember Ellie De La Cruz with the Reds? His name popped into my brain for some reason right now. Amazing start, and then he struggled. Wasn't able to adjust. We'll see what happens in year two for him. But some guys adjust, some guys don't. Adapt or die. Remember Billy Bean and Moneyball? Like, adapt or die. So, we'll see. Merrill might struggle and then adapt and do well. Like, that could happen as well. We've seen that. Danny says, off topic, but Kim looks bigger this year than last year. He seems to be getting more jacked every year. Yeah. Was it 10 pounds of muscle? Or was that Cronenworth that said that? But yeah, Kim, I know he put on some muscle as well. Yeah, he definitely looks bigger. We know he can still play really good defense, so I'm not worried about, oh, man, he's bigger, so he's not going to be able to have as much speed. I mean, I've heard it from Manny's trainer. He's been on the show. Sometimes guys get bigger, and then they get faster as well. So, I mean, this could just overall be a good thing for Awesome Kim. And if you look at his numbers offensively, obviously, he keeps getting better. So imagine if he gets even better this year, and then other guys can just perform to the level of expectations or closer to the level of expectations. And you've got Dylan Cease in this rotation, and Darvish and Musgrove can be healthy, and Michael King can be, maybe, I know fans are like, he better be better than Seth Lugo if he's the big piece back in the Juan Soto deal. But Seth Lugo was still good. It's not like he was the reason why they missed the postseason last year. So if King, I'm setting my expectations for King more near the Lugo level than like ace level for Michael King, especially now he's a four starter, first year full starter for him. My expectations maybe aren't as high as others are for Michael King. Not saying King's expectations for himself shouldn't be high, but I'm tempering those a little bit. But if the bullpen on paper, it looks strong. Rotation, if it can be healthy. Offense, it's not going to be as bad as it was last year, I wouldn't think. I mean, Kim gets better. We know he's a key part to this team anyway, but he would even be bigger. And he could end up being an all-star this year. I wouldn't rule it out, right? You look at the other shortstops in baseball. Sure, there's Trey Turner. Mookie Betts, I guess, would make it because he's a shortstop. So maybe that would hurt. But Kim could play second base in the all-star game as well. So we'll see. I mean, there's Dansby. I haven't named everyone, but yeah, Kim's going to be key this year for sure. Yes, Isaac, the Dodger games are at 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning and then Thursday morning. Thursday's a different time. I think both were at 3:05 a.m. I'm double checking that right now. I know Wednesday morning is 3 a.m., 3:05 a.m., I believe, because I just checked that like 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago before I came on. No, Thursday's at 3:05 a.m. Both are at 3:05 a.m. Both are going to be on Padres TV. ESPN is out of market only is what it's saying here. And both games, 97.3 The Fan as well. So, there you go. Confirmation on the start times there. JT says, you can't call it an upset if the Padres believe they are a World Series contender. Well, no, I think you can still call it an upset. Like, for example, if, let's say, yeah, the Dodgers and Braves, there's going to be a favorite there, right? So we might not say, oh, the Braves upset the Dodgers or the Dodgers upset the Braves. But there's a favorite in the betting lines, right? I'm not big into that, but there's a favorite, which means there's an underdog. And so when the underdog wins, there's an upset. NCAA March Madness about to happen, right? If a 7 seed loses to a 10 seed, that's still an upset. Some might be like, well, the 10 seed's actually a better team, but the 7 seed was the higher seed. So based on numbers, the seeding there, the 7 losing to the 10 upset the 7. Like, so the Padres can believe they're a World Series contender and still upset the Dodgers. I think that's definitely true. Yeah, I disagree with that point. Let's see here. JD's third says, not sure why AJ would risk Merrill's development by asking him to do something only Andrew Jones and Ken Griffey Jr. have done in baseball history. Not fair to the kid. AJ should be prosecuted. Okay. I mean, he's playing center field. He's going to be batting 9th in the lineup. Okay. I get center field. It's like, oh, yep, that's the prime outfield position, the captain of the outfield, all of that. But it's not like he has sucked in spring training. And he's an athlete. He's a shortstop. There's a bunch of former shortstops on this team. I get it. You look at those names, Andrew Jones, Ken Griffey Jr., and you're like, oh, man, that's a big category. That's a big group to be in there with, you know, Jackson Merrill with those guys. But those guys at that point in time when they were debuting, did we know they were going to be Hall of Famers? Talented, sure, but Merrill's talented as well. Did we know that those guys were going to be Hall of Famers? Did we know Ken Griffey Jr. was going to be like one of the best outfielders of all time? No, like they earned it. So sure, you're putting him in a big group there. Not a big group, but you mean what I'm saying, like two big names, but you have to start somewhere. And I don't think AJ Preller or Jackson Merrill cares about the group that he's going to be in now, starting opening day in center field like that as a rookie. I don't think they care. I think that they see that Merrill is ready and he's going to be batting ninth. I don't think that there is going to be, there's definitely not going to be as much pressure on Merrill as there is on the top of the lineup. Padres fans, we're going to be paying attention to how Jackson Merrill does when things count, of course. But there's going to be more pressure nationally, I think, for the top guys, for sure, the stars on this team, than someone that could end up being a star in baseball. Danny asked, do you think at the deadline we're going for a fifth starter at this point, or are we going to roll with who we got? I feel like our fifth spot is kind of a next man up situation this year. I mean, kind of, but also not, because let's say Johnny Brito's the fifth starter over Waldron. Brito could end up being the fifth starter or be in the rotation the whole year. Or it could be Brito and innings, for like innings wise, to keep him healthy, they go to like Randy Vasquez or they go to Matt Waldron. I mean, injuries will happen. So other guys have to pitch, but I'm not so sure it's a next man up. I mean, before the Dylan Cease trade, we were thinking that the Padres were just fine with the young pitching that they had, and they were just going to see what was going to happen. So I don't know if they even view it as a next man up thing. I think it's, they like the young guys that they have, the arms they have, they like the depth that they have. And if something happens to the fifth starter and they have to just go 3-4 innings, well, they have a lot of arms in that bullpen that they like that can finish games there. And then they're hoping, obviously, that the front of this rotation, Darvish Musgrove, can give you length. Dylan Cease as well. Now, obviously, King. And, you know, you can kind of compensate for that fifth starter if something goes wrong. But I don't think it's really a next man up thing right now. When injuries happen, that's obviously what it would be. Continuing to go through the chat here. JD's third says, Kim was the only offense last night. I'm getting 2023 vibes. I mean, I disagree. Manny had a double. Merrill had a hit. Paulie did. Tatis hit one hard. Eggy almost hit a home run twice. Yes, the offense, it's not ideal, but at least it was better than the game before, the first exhibition game. And some of those guys, I mean, let's be honest. Some of those guys are throwing 66, 70 miles per hour. I'm not going to overreact to the offense struggling against Korean pitchers. If we're being honest, are two games against Korean teams, Team Korea and then LG Twins, are those the best ramp-up games, the best last games before games count? No, they're not, because you're going to be facing Glass now and Yamamoto. You're going from Korean pitchers to them. It's not the best preparation to face them, but I'm sure they have, you know, pitching machines with high velocity, you know, going in the cages and stuff. So I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm just saying that that's probably not the best. I was thinking about that last night when the game was going on. Like, yeah, facing 76, that's not the best preparation for those guys. That's not really realistic to what you're going to be facing. All right, I think that's going to do it. Talking Friars, episode 574. Thank you, everyone, for the time. Let me know your opening day roster projection. If you disagree with mine, do you agree? The 26-man roster should be coming out, I would think, sometime tomorrow, our time, in San Diego. So I'll have reaction to that. But yeah, have a great rest of your day, everybody. No Padres baseball until it actually counts on Wednesday morning. See ya.